smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salopatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salopatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his Mighty Allen art players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another big amateur contest. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Listen to the crowd cheer Fred Allen as he leads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a subtone clarinet, and America's subnormals, the Mighty Allen art players, are following in the wake. Let's try the cheering song. Everybody's going up. Here they come, installment buyers.
If I don't get this month's installment, out goes your radio, lady.
You ain't touching that radio till tomorrow, mister. It's Town Hall tonight.
Policeman.
That police call was in court, Mulligan. What did it say?
It said all police cars stand by for an hour. It's Town Hall tonight.
Scotch fans.
And what are you doing with your ear to that mouse hole, Sandy MacDonald?
The folks next door have a radio, Annie, and it's Town Hall the next.
Well, sir, here we are in front of the old Town Hall, and there's Fred welcoming one and all. Let's listen.
Ist das nicht ein old Town Hall? Ja, das ist die old Town Hall, folks. So check your troubles and go right in.
Evening, Mr. Allen.
Hello there, Miss Wen. How are things down at your beauty parlor?
Oh, my customers is sitting pretty. Get it?
Some snappy repartee, Miss Wen. Almost clipped you off in the middle of a sentence there. And Chloe, enjoy yourselves on the inside, folks.
Hi there, Wendy.
Howdy, Pop. The show's about to start, folks.
Hey, we're camping at the bit, Fred.
Okay, Harry. We'll open with Goody Goody.
Righto, Fred. Goody Goody, Peter.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody goody. So you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody goody. So you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And you broke in little pieces. Now how do you do? So you lie awake to sing in the blues all night. Goody goody.
So you think that love's a barrel of dynamite.
Hooray, hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody goody for him, goody goody for me. And hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you.
So you think that love's a barrel of dynamite.
Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody goody for him, goody goody for me. And hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you.
Presenting that versatile, victorious viceroy of vibrant, voluminous vocabulary, the and vivacious, variegated vignettes, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before you start blaming your radio tubes for the sounds you're going to hear during the next hour, I'll read you the Town Hall Bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, says that starting Monday, no packages will be broken for the convenience of customers. Now, Hodge says he don't mind splitting a loaf of bread so people can buy two or three slices, or on Fridays, customers who want to buy a fin and leave Hodge holding the hattie. But when some of you folks want Hodge to open a can so you can buy a measly dozen of baked beans, you're going too far. So much for consumer activities in our midst. And now for the Town Hall news. Is the curtain ready, Harry?
It's coming right down, Fred.
Oh, thank you. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Boston, Massachusetts. Boston husbands complain that their wives gamble away family fortunes and demand police take action. Town Hall News shows typical home where wife is addicted to gambling. The scene, the home of Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
Come in.
Good evening, Mrs. Harris. Are you busy?
No, I'm working on my scratch sheet, Mrs. Casey. Picking some horses for tomorrow.
Oh, don't mention horses to me. I blew a 3-horse parley at Tropical today.
I got a hot tip at Bowie tomorrow.
I wouldn't play a hot tip on asparagus.
This plug's a cinch, Mrs. Casey. The jockey eats garlic and the horse wins trying to get away from him.
Well, I'm off horses for life.
Well, then how about a little poker?
No, no, I've gone down to the butcher's to get the old man a pot roast.
Oh, you can go later. We'll only play 2 hands.
Well, all right. 10-cent limit. Fair of the card.
Right here in my apron. I was cutting the Iceman. High card for a 20-cent take.
I match pennies with the fish man. I've been getting heads for 6 months.
Well, pull up a chair.
Deal the cards.
There you are. What do you do?
Opening for a nickel.
I'll stay.
Give me 2 cards.
I'll take 3. Well, what are you doing?
Betting a nickel.
I'll raise it a dime.
I'm calling. What are you holding?
A 3-card straight.
You win. I had a heart flush. I'll but choke love.
Good evening, dear.
That's your husband.
Never mind. Deal the cards.
I said good evening, dear.
What's good about it? I ain't even got a pair.
I've had a hard day at the office, Julia. You might at least be civil.
Give me 4 cards, Mrs. Casey.
Is supper ready, honey?
No, put on the coffee.
I'll open for a dime.
It'll cost you 10 more to stay.
What did you got?
An 8.
It's good. Well, that cleans me. Now I can't go to the butcher's.
What are we having for dinner, honey?
You're having me. Your wife just won my pot roast.
New York City, New York. Magistrate Louis Brodsky fines 6 clothing merchants for pulling customers into their stores from sidewalks. Says police should protect citizens from aggressive tradesmen. Town Hall News shows how pullers in work at downtown clothing stores.
Hey, mister. Psst. How about a Bell McCann?
No, thanks.
Oh, come on, buddy. You ain't greeting Easter in that horse blanket.
Hey, you let go of my husband, John,
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
no,
lady, how about a Bowery mink for you?
No. And if you don't quit jostling us, mister, I'll mash you with this umbrella.
Okay, if you two want to go through life looking sloppy, scram.
Say, this neighborhood's terrible, Poyser.
Pulling people off the streets. They ain't salesmen, they're kidnappers.
Say, you know, I do need a clip for my collar.
Well, don't buy it around here. We'll get pulled apart.
Help! Help! I need a witness! I need a witness! Help!
What's the matter, mister?
Doing me a favor, my friends. Stepping in my store. I need a witness.
All right, we'll go in and witness for you.
Why do I need a witness?
Hey, what's the big idea, locking that door?
Yeah, what are we supposed to witness?
My friends, I want you to witness the biggest knockdown sale on the bar.
Why, you shyster, unlock that door.
I am not making with the schlissel until you are making with the bargains.
Well, all right. Give me one of them collar clasps.
Okay, my friend. Look, I'm slipping it under the cravat myself.
Is it all right, Poyser?
Is it all right? Why, the clasp is a beauty, but it's making your necktie look positively frowsy. No, I'll fix it.
Hey, what the...
How did you turn my husband's necktie?
Positively, because a clasp like this is needing a polka dot foulard, which I'm tying it on personally.
How is this tie, Poyser?
The tie looks snappy, but it's making that suit look like a piece of nothing. No, I'm fixing.
Hey, you're tearing my coat, hey.
Yeah, why are you ripping off his suit?
Why? Because the well-dressed man with a polka dot tie is wearing a herringbone suit with a belt in the back, which I am slipping on pronto.
How is the suit, Poyser?
The pants is fitting like the skin on a liverwurst.
But the coat's a little loose.
With this suit is coming 3 wests. The coat ultimately will fit in snug.
Well, let's go, Poyser.
Not so fast, my friend. The well-dressed man is never wearing with a double-breasted herringbone that baby.
What is he supposed to wear, a fez?
No. The ghetto dandy is topping off a herringbone ensemble with a pea-green fedora, which I am setting on the head before you could say Jake Rosenthal.
Hey, it's a little large, ain't it?
Yeah, Von Rainstorm, and it's fitting like the cellophane in a bull chair.
Lord, you're some dude now, Abner.
Wait, one more thing you are needing, my friend.
Yeah, I know, a red balloon.
Nursery. absolutely free, I am giving you one heavy ebony cane.
A cane? What for?
Well, going down the Bowery, the lowlifes that are pulling you into their stores, you should beat them over the head with this cane.
Oh, you mean like this?
Oi, oi, help,
oh,
help!
Stop hitting him, Abby. You'll get sued for assault and battery.
He can't prove nothing. Nobody's here but us three.
Oi, help, help! Oi, do I need a witness?
Once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. Augusta, Georgia. Playing in Augusta National Invitation Tournament, Gene Saracen gets birdie on the fourth hole. The birdie.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And don't look now, but I think spring is really here. Hedgehogs, robins, and other flora and fauna are giddy harbingers of spring at best. It takes the circus to really make it official. And that great American institution opened here today.
Are you going, Fred?
Am I going? Say, I've got to feed all of those elephants, Harry. I've got to eat up all of that popcorn. And I certainly must have another look at the disappearing America.
You mean the Indians?
No, Harry. Those fellows who say, hurry, 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 before the big show starts. Step up closer to the platform and feast your eyes on the most awe-inspiring, spectacular, gigantic pygmy in the world.
You mean the Barkers?
Correct, Harry. That's a style of elocution that always gets me somehow or other. Why, even when I used to hear fellows selling stuff on the street. Remember those confidential salesmen, Harry? Step up closer, folks, and get your whiz-wax, the wonder worker. Remove spots from rugs, walls, and high silk hats. Softens harness and repairs surcingles. There's nothing in the home, barn, or chicken coop that can't be fixed with whiz-wax, the wonder worker. I tell you, Harry, I'm certainly sorry to see those fellas disappear.
Yes, well, they were colorful enough, Fred, but I think the day of exaggerated claims is past. I mean, people nowadays are smarter about those things than they used to be. They believe what they know, not what they're told. And that's why more and more people every day are turning to Ipana toothpaste. For Ipana with massage, recommended by dentists and taught in schools, has proved itself the ideal way to tone and stimulate soft, tender gums. And brighter, more sparkling teeth are brilliant testimonials to the effectiveness of Ipana. Claims are forgotten. Results are remembered. That's why men and women everywhere remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
Steedon and the Ipana Troubadours have just played Let Yourself Go. Now, on Friday night at the... Quiet, quiet, please. Now, if that's some heckler whose policy...
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I asked the man at the filling station to scrape the carbon off my legs. They didn't know I had a knock in my knee. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, Mama says I do the craziest thing, so I came over here to make good.
Why, you're as welcome as the flowers in May, Portland.
But this is only April.
That's just what I mean. You're here a month too soon to suit me.
Oh, I know you're glad to see me. You're just trying to pull my leg.
Now, wait a minute. None of those osteopathic insinuations. I don't go around tugging people's tibias.
Gosh, this is spring. You look as though you're full of pep if you don't take a good look.
Now listen, I have spring fever. The only way I can tell how I feel these days is to look in the morning paper.
Oh, that's silly. How can you know how you feel by looking in the paper?
Well, if my name isn't in the obituary column, I assume that I'm still alive. So I get up.
It's a dirty trick to play on the undertaker, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is. Business is so bad with undertakers these days, people are only taking cat naps. If they lie down too long, undertakers are apt to rush them off on approval.
Oh, no fair changing the subject. Now, how does it feel to have spring fever?
Well, I'll tell you. If you ever have a sneaky suspicion one day around noontime that your bones got up that morning and left your skin in bed, you've got it.
That's a fine way to welcome spring. You should be like Papa.
Is Papa all ready for Easter?
Oh, he's always ready for Easter.
You mean he always drinks just enough to get a little bunny?
No. He always has a little egg on his vest.
A little egg? Say, I could put buttons on an omelet and you couldn't tell it from Papa's vest. His vest always looks like the White House lawn on Easter Monday morning to me.
Poor Papa. He tried to make a little pocket money last week.
Whose little pocket did they catch him in?
Oh, it wasn't that. He saw an ad in the paper.
What ad?
It said, clean up, raise chicks for Easter.
Well, there's no harm in raising chicks.
But Papa read the ad wrong. He thought it said, raising chicks.
Now look, Portland. Scientists have split the atom, and still I can't get away from you.
Oh, you'll find out. Mr. Fogg!
No, I have a fog in my... Oh, no.
Okay, sis, you don't need no nickel to call Newton Fogg.
A snappy opening, Mr. Fogg.
Now, here, wait a minute, Mr. Fogg. I don't want to resent anyone incognito. Who is this other biological faux pas?
Why, this is my boon companion, Mr. Guppy.
Casper T. Guppy.
T is at coffee shop, eh, Casper?
Oh, you're killing me, Mr. Fogg.
And he isn't exactly rejuvenating me either, Mr. Guppy.
Mr. Fogg has the makings of a great comedian, Mr. Allen.
Yes, as the man said when he put his finger in the bottle, I'm a corker.
If you ain't subtle, Mr. Fogg.
He's as subtle as a cop's hand on your shoulder.
You should have seen Mr. Fogg at the Kiwanis Minstrel Show, Mr. Allen.
My gosh, the way I run out on the stage that night with a black on my face and said, hello, Stokes. You get it?
Do I get it?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I lead a good, clean life. I never step on flowers. I'm kind to little children. And still, everything happens to me.
What this country needs is a good 5-cent comedian.
Radio is full of them.
That's good.
Hey, hold on there, Casper. What's the guffawing for?
Oh, excuse me. I thought you was talking, Mr. Fogg.
No, I wasn't. You better watch yourself. None of that freelance laughing.
Yes, you ought to wait for a good joke, Mr. Guppy.
And here it comes.
Let's have it, Mr. Fogg.
What has no legs and flies?
Now, wait a minute. Don't jump at conclusions, Guppy. Wait for the answer.
Yes, what has no legs and flies, Mr. Fogg?
Well, as long as you fit, it's an airplane.
Time out.
Quiet.
Don't you get it, Alan?
Yes, I get it. I got it 30 years ago.
But there weren't any airplanes 30 years ago, Mr. Allen.
I know it. They used to tell that joke about a balloon. Until the Wright brothers got so sick of hearing it, they invented the airplane.
Mr. Fogg specializes in old jokes, Mr. Allen. He's training to go into radio.
And who's Mr. Guppy, his listening audience?
Mr. Guppy's Mr. Fogg's laugher. If a comedian's going into radio, he's got to have a laugher.
Hasn't he any relatives?
Casper laughs at anything I do. Look, I'll hold up my little finger.
Oh, put it down, Mr. Fogg. I'll stop.
what's holding me back. My foot is stuck on some gum here.
You can sourpuss it, Mr. Glum, but Casper and me's as good as the best of them comedians. What are they giving you on the radio today?
All right, what are they giving us?
Well, we'll show you, Mr. Pickup Art. You ready, Casper?
You bet.
Well, first they always announce the comedian like this. Joe Dokes is on the air. Here he comes, folks, with a little green hat and a mop hat. Okay. And then the comedian starts. I got a frog in my throat, folks. Here comes the ball.
Gosh, that's radio, all right.
I'll say it is. All you hear is laughing and applauding, and nobody knows what's going on.
Then you should be a great success.
Something tells me Mr. Fogg is going a long way.
Me too, and there's nothing like getting an early start. Scram, boys. So long, Portland.
Howie ho!
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys appear in their cups to sing you Everything Stops for Tea.
Every nation in creation has its favorite drink. France is famous for its wine, beer in Germany. Turkey has its coffee and they serve it blacker than ink. Russians go for vodka and England loves its tea. Oh, the factories may be roaring with a boom-a-lack, a zoom-a-lack, a wee. But there isn't any roar when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. Oh, a lawyer in a courtroom in the middle of an alimony plea has to stop and help him pour when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. It's a very good English custom, though the weather be cold or hot. When you need a little pickup, you'll find a little teacup that'll always hit the spot. Now I know just why Franz Schubert didn't finish his symphony. Oh, he might have written more, but the clock struck four.
Everything stops for tea.
I said everything stops for tea.
If we Yankees caught that habit, just imagine what a baseball game would be. With a run to tie the score
and the clock strikes four, every man stops for tea. Once a girlie in the parlor finally said that she'd kiss me. Any wonder I was sore when the clock struck four. Everything stopped for tea. And they tell me that east of Suez,
where the fishes fly high and play, though the heat is really gripping, the soldiers do their sipping
on the road to Mandalay. Can you picture our brave soldiers in the trenches or a battleship at sea? In the middle of a war, the clock strikes four and everything stops for tea. You remember Cleopatra had a date to meet Mark and Three. When he came an hour late, Cleo made him wait. She simply had to have that tea. They were pumping air to a diver who was down at the bottom of the sea.
He was breathing so very nifty till the clock struck 3:60. Oh,
everything stops for tea.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Is it time now, Mr. Allen?
Well, now is as good a time as any, my timid tyke. You go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask Mr. Von Zell to do me a favor, but I'm afraid.
Well, you don't have to be. There's no truth to that rumor, you know, that Harry is the original wolf who ate Red Riding Hood's grandmother. You just go right ahead.
Well, Mr. Von Zell, look, when you do your talk about Salopatica tonight, would you please start off by saying, now listen here, Mr. Barrett.
Well, now, wait a minute. Who is this Mr. Barrett?
He's my father, see? And he promised me a bicycle. So this morning, I was sort of hanging around.
A reprehensible habit, son.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, my mother said, if you're waiting to ask your father for that bicycle, don't. I wouldn't even ask him for the time. He's so grouchy.
Oh, well, now I'm beginning to get your point.
It's getting awful nice weather for a bike now.
I'd say that this calls for immediate action, Harry.
Well, Fred, I agree with you, so here goes. Now listen here, Mr. Barrett. Anytime you or anyone else wakes up feeling grouchy and dull and under the weather, why don't you put 2 teaspoonfuls of Salopatica in a glass of water and drink it? Because Salopatica is the mineral salt laxative that rids your body of wastes and also combats your acidity. 2 things that usually make you feel dull and under the weather. It won't be long before you'll feel your old normal self again if you'll just let Salopatica help you. Now, how's that, young fella?
Gee, that was swell. Thanks ever so much, Mr. Von Zell.
Say, I don't like to appear grasping, son, but what's our cut now, if you get that bite?
Oh, I'll give you and Mr. Von Zell a ride on the handlebars. So long.
So long, and I hope your father remembers Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Uh-oh, there's the new theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have ears, prepare to mute them, for we bring you the Mighty Allen R. Players with music. Those pets of the critics who hold all records for the longest runs on Broadway in their stockings. Tonight, these thespians present an Easter saga of the great American Barnyard entitled Hortense's Dilemma, or A Foul There Was. Overture, Peter.
Dr. Luke's office, 271 Ring 3. No, Dr. Luke's a veterinary. Well, he's out now. I think it's a blessed event that stokes his barn. All right, I'll tell him. Goodbye. Back early, ain't you, Dr. Luke?
Oh, take my bag, nurse. I'm just tuck it out.
Oh, what was it, an emergency call?
Yeah, one of Len Stokes' cows got St. Vitus dance. Lord, she's jumping around so much, Len can't milk her. Keeps missing the pail.
Oh, that's a pity. Oh, Ethan Frome called up.
I know, I heard about it. He dropped a dime in his mare's oats. He wants her x-ray.
Lord, Ethan's so tight, he can't get his mouth open fur enough to whistle.
That's true, too. See if that's a patient at the door, nurse. I'll put on my glasses. I look just like Louis Pasteur with my glasses on.
Come right in, Miss Kraft.
Thank you, nurse.
You're here to see me, Elmer?
Yes, you gall-darned old faker.
Well, I'm ready. Where's my stethoscope, nurse?
Here you are, Doc.
Now, I'm a veterinary. You'll have to get down on all fours, Elmer, if you want me to examine you.
Well, there's nothing ailing me, you concerned old numb-noggin. I'm here to see you about my horse.
Oh, yeah, she had the bots, didn't she?
Yeah. You told me to inject the pint of turpentine into her hip, didn't you?
Reckon I did. Ain't she cured?
I don't know. I ain't caught her yet.
Well, if you ever catch her, you'll find she's cured.
Says you. Call yourself a medical.
Are you intimating that Doc ain't no vet?
He's all wet, as far as I'm concerned.
That's slander, Elmer Crabb. You should have said all vet. Then I'd have known what you meant. Now you get.
I'll get. I'm snitching to the constable, and you'll get you.
That's what you think.
Elmer sure got his dander up, ain't he?
Oh, I should have given him a shot of turpentine. He might have caught his horse. Hey, what you say?
I ain't said nothing.
Quiet. Hey, who's that mumbling?
I didn't say nothing.
What? You let me finish first before you say that. What you say?
Well, I still didn't say nothing. Take that stethoscope.
So that's what it is.
Cy Brown called up about his hen, Hortense.
I'm still working on Hortense. I got her in the laboratory under observation.
She used to be the champion egg layer of Butler County.
I know, but Cy got so many egg orders for Easter, Hortense just went to pieces.
Ain't she laying?
She ain't even clucking. And clucking is prologuing to egg laying.
What's got into Hortense? She got reverse dropsy?
Well, I'm still diagnosing, but Hortense will start egging any minute. I'm seeing to that.
Open in the name of the law.
Come in.
Well, effing it ain't old Constable Pinch, effing it ain't.
Well, what effing it is?
What's eating you, Constable?
I got bad news, Dr. Luke. Elmer Crabb says you ain't no bona fide doctor.
Elmer's up to some yokel ad libbing.
Well, Elmer allows you ain't got no license to practice doctoring.
Tain't so.
Elmer says you're quiet.
Tain't so.
Why, Doc Luke's been playing the stalk for horses and cows for 20 years, and I ain't heard no complaints.
Like as not. But I'm the law, Doc, and I've got to see your license.
Well, it's right here, hanging on the wall.
Oh, this here, huh?
Well, that's a license, ain't it?
Yep, it's a license. But it ain't for it.
It's too for it.
It ain't another. It's a shooting license.
Well, what's the difference how I get rid of my patients?
I'm sorry, Doc, but I'm the law, and you can't practice doctoring.
See who's to the door, nurse.
Now, hold on. If that's the patient, you can't treat him.
Open her up, nurse. If it's emergency, I'm defying the law.
Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke.
Now, Si, what's all the fussing?
I ain't closed nary eye for 3 nights, Doc. How's my prize hen, Hortense?
She's under observation, Si. Resting easy.
And now, I'm warning you, Doc. You can't talk doctoring. You're breaking the law.
And that ain't all I'm aiming to break. Now you get, Constable Page. You haul nightstick.
I'll get, but I'll be back. I'm getting to get a warrant.
Does Pinch mean you can't treat Hortense, Doc?
Law or no law, I'll pull her through, Si.
Orders for Easter eggs is pouring in from all over. If Hortense don't tee off on a nest soon, I'll be ruined.
How'd Hortense come down sick, Si? She have the pips?
Nope, I caught her in Nunnally Johnson's paint shop, eating up all of them paints.
Well, she must have seen some of them Easter eggs, Si. Put ideas into her head. Hen's like a woman, you know.
Yeah, reckon so. My wife's the same way. Ever since she's seen the magazine Esquire, I got to wear my shirt tails tucked in.
Oh, you darn dude.
Now, this better be fair talk. Ain't curing Hortense, Doc.
Yep, that's right, nurse. Where is she?
She's nesting yonder in my fluoroscope. Bring her in, nurse.
I'll get her right away, Doc.
You really think Hortense will come through, Doc?
You bet.
I'm depending on you, Doc.
Here she is, Doc. Gosh, she's awful heavy.
Yeah, it must be some of that white lead she had over to Nunley's. Now, set her right down here in my derby. Easy now, Hortense. Easy, old girl. Doc ain't gonna hurt you.
Oh, you worked wonders, Doc. She's up to something. I can see it in her eyes.
Well, unless I'm from the old school, she's going to lay an egg.
At a girl, Hortense.
Now, quiet. Quiet, everyone. Come on, Hortense.
Well, sir, look at that egg.
Why, it's blue.
It's perfectly round.
Yeah.
Say, she's getting that funny look again. Look at her.
Yeah. Hortense is taking an encore. I'll be there. Well, lay it on the line, Horty. Look there. Another one.
It's a beauty. And it's green.
Say, this is round, too.
Congratulations, Doc. How'd you do it?
Well, I give her a secret treatment. I knew it would get results.
Reckon I'd better get Hortense home now.
Hold on, Si. Here she goes again.
Come on, Hortense. You can do it. You got something there.
Quiet, nurse. Now, who's laying this egg? Now, drop it gently, Hortense, old girl.
Well, land sakes! That makes three of them.
And this one is purple.
Three eggs in one setting. Gosh, that certainly is. Lord of me, she sneaked that one over on us, didn't she? That was a quick egg.
Four of them. And this one's red with yellow stripes.
I tell you, we're laying egg history here tonight, folks.
What, again? Now, listen, Doc, can't you shut the dang thing off?
Quiet, Si. You carry on, Hortense. Swing it. Good girl, Hortense.
This one's white. She must have run out of color.
Quiet, quiet, nurse. Who do you think Hortense is, Rembrandt?
Hi, Alan. Gosh, just can't get over it.
Come in.
Anna, stop. Step. You can't practice, Doc. I got the warrant. You're coming with me.
Hold on, Constable. Don't you lay a finger on the doc. Take a look at what him and Hortense has done.
Oh, shucks. 'Twant nothing. That is, we just happened to get together and one thing.
So the duck and the hen done that, eh?
Yep, we done it single-handed. 5 eggs, round and assorted colors at one setting. Now, you believe it or not?
Well, believe it or not, you're under arrest, a lot of you.
What for? Overproducing?
No, for petty larceny.
Just a minute. Who's calling Dr. Luke a thief?
Who's calling the thief a ducker?
You mean?
You're darn tootin'. Them ain't eggs.
What are they, then?
Them is fool balls. Doc stole from Perkins Billiard Parlors and fed them into that hen to make Cy think he cured her.
Now, it ain't so. I'm a witness.
Well, what was that?
It's Hortense again. Look, she laid an 8-ball.
Just in time. Get behind it, all of you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, now, as soon as Peter Van Steeden's music obliterates the effects of the Mighty Allen Art Players, we'll dust off our applause machine and welcome our amateurs. And since we've often been asked about that applause machine, I think it might be a good idea, Harry, if you explain to our friends just how it operates.
A very timely suggestion, if I may say so, Mr. Allen.
You certainly may say so with my blessings, Mr. Von Zell. Decipher the decibels, if you will.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have here at Town Hall a very sensitive machine to register the applause of the audience for the amateurs. A needle very similar to the ones on the dashboard of your car indicates the volume of the applause. The length of the applause doesn't mean a thing. That's why Fred often talks through it. It's the first spontaneous outburst that kicks the needle up. And every sound is faithfully recorded.
That's right, Harry. You can politely tap your palms together, tinkle your cuticle, as it were, or vigorously thwack one hand against the other. And our little machine will make a note of every sort of applause.
Well, that is every sort but one, Fred. And that's the applause of our audience for Sal Hepatica. You can register that yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, for whenever you're feeling logy or out of sorts, when you have waste in your body and acid in your system, and you put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it, it isn't long before your own rating has gone up. Now, here's why.
Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative especially made to do 2 things. To remove the waste from your body, and also to combat your acidity.
So you'll always applaud your own judgment if you'll remember Sal Hepatica for your smile of health. Town Hall Amateur Contest. Here comes Fred Allen leading a group of aspiring amateurs to make their bow tonight as potential stars. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, our amateurs compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the 2 acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may select your final winners. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to present a young man, very young and very short, I might say, Michael Lomenzo. Is that right, Michael?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Where do you live, Michael?
In Corona, Long Island.
Corona, huh? That's the town named after a typewriter, or vice versa, isn't it?
Well, you might call it the Sticks.
You might? Say, wait a minute. You're calling Corona the Sticks? You have to go back there tonight, don't you?
Well, I'm not worrying about going back. I have to go back with $50 first.
Oh, you're not... How tall are you, Michael?
Well, about 4'7".
4'7", hey? And how old are you?
I'm 16.
16, really?
Yes, sir.
And it's taken you 16 years to just grow that little bit? Gosh, you must have had your mind on something else while you were growing up.
Well, you see, my father forgot to take his hand off my head when I was growing.
Your father forgot to take his hand off your head when you were growing up? That's very good, Michael. You don't mind if I call you Mike, do you?
Oh, no.
Mike, is that the Mike, huh?
Call me Mickey.
Call you Mickey, huh? Do you go to school over in Corona?
No, I don't go to school, no.
You don't go to school, huh?
I'm studying music.
Oh, you're studying music exclusively?
Yes, sir.
Singing?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's fine.
Singing, dancing, and piano.
Oh, naturally, you couldn't squeeze school in. You know, it isn't a bad idea. It isn't a bad idea, you know, these days, to get all of the education you possibly can have so that you won't grow up and be like me. You should stay in school as long as you can, and then later on you can sing and dance and whistle and do the other things as you get a little older. It's nice to start early, though, but not to devote all of your time to it. Well, what would you like to sing tonight, Michael?
There Goes My Heart.
There Goes My Heart, and you're only 16? Well, all right. You go right ahead. Something tells me you're fooling, Michael, but you go right ahead. Lomenzo, ladies and gentlemen. It was really, Michael is so short, it's hard to believe that he's really 16 years of age. And now, ladies and gentlemen, would you rather stand, Mr. Hess, which side are you going to play the bells on? On the other side? Would you rather stand over there and be nearer to the bells? It's perfectly all right. It would just be more convenient for you when you start to play. Do you mind, Mr. Hess, if I ask you how old you are?
63.
63, are you really?
Yes, sir.
Gosh, we're certainly running the gamut tonight, aren't we? From Michael to Mr. Hess on short notice here. And you are play the bells on the table here, do you?
Yes, sir.
They're nice, bright, and shiny looking, aren't they?
Yes, sir. I get my wife to do that.
Oh. Well, that's very nice. The bells look as though they're nickel to death to be here, don't they? Have you been... That's the best I can do on short notice, Mr. Hess. I hope you'll overlook that pun. But have you played these Swiss bells for long?
Well, quite some time, yes.
Just for your own amusement?
My own amusement, yes, sir.
Do you mind if I ask you what business you have been as you have in years gone by?
Well, I generally do bartending.
Bartending, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's quite a set of opposites you have, isn't it? Bartending and ringing Swiss bells. You couldn't very well practice while you were working. Or, unless you ignored that little bell on the cash register in years gone by and concentrated on the Swiss. Well, all right. What would you like to play on the Swiss bell?
The bells of St. Mary.
The bells of St. Mary. Well, you have the bells, and we leave the rest up to you. Mr. Hess has quite an attractive outfit here, a green beige cover and probably 25 bells. All right? Thank you. Playing the Swiss bells. Thank you very much, Mr. Hess. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sing Wong. Good evening, Mr. Wong. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Do you mind if I ask you your nationality?
No.
Huh?
I'm Chinese.
Chinese? Are you really? Were you born in this country?
No, I was born in Manila, Philippine Islands.
In the Philippine Islands,
yes.
Huh? Well, how long have you been over here?
Oh, I've been here about 6 years.
You've been here 6 years, huh? You don't mind if I ask you doing what? I mean, just a synopsis would take quite a while to...
No.
Have you been working here?
Oh, yes, a little here and there, you know, working in the restaurant and all over, you know.
I see. Well, is there anybody... Have you any folks back home in Manila who will be apt to hear you tonight when you sing?
Yes, my mother.
Your mother is
yeah,
still in...
Cable ground, and I think she will hear by short wave.
Oh, you sent your mother a radiogram, huh?
Yes.
Not collect, I hope.
No, no.
Huh? Not collect. Well, I certainly hope that she hears you tonight. You know, we have mail from all over. We have letters from Peru, Alaska. So the program does get out places. I had a letter from Bombay in India a week or so ago. Just shows you the program goes all over. Bad news travels quickly. It just sort of gets around. But I certainly do hope that your mother hears you tonight. And what would you like to sing, Mr. Wong?
I'd like to sing Yes, Sir, That's My Baby in Chinese.
Yes, Sir, That's My Baby in Chinese. You're going to play your own accompaniment on the ukulele, huh?
Yes, and the piano.
And the piano, too, huh? All right.
Would you mind if I tell a little story?
A little story? No, go right ahead.
About the Chinese boy and the Chinese girl. The Chinese boy said, Unga, Antunia Boso Tangayo, which means in English, I love you. Then he said again, Olama Antunia Boso Tangayo, which means in English, will you marry me? So the girl looked at the boy from head to foot and said, which means in English, okay, tot. Thank you. That was Sing
Wong. Thank you very much, Mr. Wong. And now, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we were going to have the Quintonians. But unfortunately, two of the girls aren't here, and the other three young ladies have kindly consented to improvise, I might say, on short notice, and sing something for us. Do you mind telling me where you girls come from?
Well, this is Miss Sally Cohen.
Miss Cohen, I'm glad to know you.
She comes from Gloversville, New York.
From Gloversville, New York.
And this is Miss Marion Barton.
Miss Barton, I'm happy to know you, too.
And she comes from Sandy Creek, New York.
Now, who'll introduce you?
Miss Frances Vermillion from North Troy, Vermont.
Miss Vermillion, I'm very happy to know you. Well, how did what happened to the other two girls? Couldn't they come down so far?
Mr. Allen, I wish you'd tell us what happened to the other two girls.
Oh,
I...
Well, unfortunately, the crystal fell off my watch tonight, or I'd certainly be happy to look in it and see if I couldn't locate them for you. But how did your quintet get together? Did one of the girls have a bicycle up there? Sort of. Well, all right. What would you... you go to school up state, don't you?
Yes.
Where? Do you mind?
In Potsdam, New York.
Potsdam, New York. I see. And I shan't ask you the name of the school because... They'll probably guess it there without going into that, huh? What would you like to sing? What are you going to sing?
Hands Across the Table.
Hands Across the Table. Well, we haven't any table here at the moment, Miss Vermillion, so we'll just sing Hands Across, and you go right ahead. Thanks. Were three of the Quintonians. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bill Wilson has arrived at the microphone here in full Scotch regalia with kilts and coat and swagger stick, I guess you'd call it. Sort of a detour crop, I would call it. It's one of those typical Scotch canes. Mr. Wilson, you are a Scotch singer, are you?
Oh, yes.
You are, huh?
Oh, yes.
I didn't think that you'd deceive me with that outfit there. The Scotch costume has always intrigued me. Have you any idea how the kilts came to be originated? I mean, came to be worn as...
Well, imagine from the Romans.
From the Romans,
yes.
Eh? I didn't
know... That's how they get Roman and the Gloman, I think.
Oh! Well, that brings up, I have a joke in rebuttal, the snappy glowworm who's all dressed up and no place to glow. I mean, I wouldn't bother you with it, Mr. Wilson. But I have always worried. I didn't know whether the Scotch folks saw nudism coming and began with the knees and left other nationalities to take it up from there. And the spora, what do you call it?
Sporan.
The sporan, huh?
Sporan.
It always intrigued me. It looks as though a fellow is carrying a spare toupee around with him, just in case.
I probably know why it intrigued you. That's our purse.
Oh, that's the Scotch purse,
that's
eh?
That's where they keep their money.
Oh.
They have any.
Well, that's perhaps why they're made so ornamental, huh? Well, what would you like to sing, Mr. Wilson?
My hair, I warms to the tartan.
My what?
My hair, I warms. To the tartan.
All right, you took the words right out of my mouth.
He started with a sang, I'm sure that you'll all think the rang. My sang's about all Scotland, and my heart is in the sang. And where's the man upon this earth that will not sing with me. My native land, that's why I sing. All Scotland's health for me. For ma, Erskine, what's in the tartan, wherever I may be. Oh, my Erskine, what's in the tartan, on the land or on the sea. With the bagpipes playing in the morning, and the piper out Dundee. For the land of heath and heather is the land for me. Woo! For my Erskine, what's in the tartan, wherever I may be. Oh, my Erskine, what's in the tartan, on the land or on the sea. With the bagpipes playing in the morning, and the piper out Dundee. For the land of heath and heather is the land for me.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you very much. And now, while I check on the final results, that concludes our amateur contest, ladies and gentlemen. And while I look at the final results, Harry, who seems to be temporarily at a loss for words, will use a few of Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emerson once said, "Whenever you are sincerely pleased, you are nourished." We hope our show has sincerely pleased you this evening, and if it has, you can thank yourselves for the nourishment. Because you make these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible by remembering Ipana toothpaste for your smiles of beauty and Sal Hepatica for your smiles of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. Peter, I see Fred has the results ready.
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts: Billy Harris and Michael Lomenzo. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hand over the heads of this gentleman and this boy as I call the names, and I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud once again and select your winners for first and second prizes. Now, first, the gentleman, the 63-year-old virtuoso on the Swiss bells, the gentleman with the nice, shiny nickel bells who played when you and I were young, the bells of St. Mary's, rather. And then the young gentleman, 4'6", who is 16 years of age from Corona, Long Island, who sang "There Goes My Heart" as though he meant it, Michael Lomenzo. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry?
Right up there.
Thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash, and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City goes to Michael Lomenzo. The boy. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Mr. Billy Hess. I'm sorry that we all couldn't win, but thank you all for coming, and better luck next time. This is Fred Allen saying good night, everybody, and inviting you to join us at the Old Town Hall again next Wednesday night. Good night.
Let yourself go, and I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. We're taken from Follow the Fleet. This is the National Broadcasting Company.